have I hid in my heart that I may never sin against thee, Lord. Amen. Amen. Go to 2 Peter, please. Hallelujah. Chapter 1. Listen to verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. You know, it's not that we are not serving the Lord anymore and don't even love God, but sometimes we forget things. We just forget. Oh, I forgot. Craziest thing, you know. Craziest thing happened to me a couple of days ago. It's really weird. You're going to laugh at me, but it's okay. I don't mind being laughed at. But listen what I did. This is crazy. I've had a computer in my house for a number of years now. It's a nice thing to have, and a landline that goes to it, and you know, I get on the computer, do what I have to do, and my daughter bought me a wireless receiver. So one of the guys came over and hooked it up for me, and so now they said, Dad, you can go anywhere in the house with your computer. I thought, really? Oh my gosh, this is awesome. So, you know, the next day I got up, I went into my routine, sat down at my desk, I was working on my computer, and came back out. I said, I got to go back and do some more things, and went back in there, I'm working on my computer, and I had forgotten that I could go anywhere I wanted to go. And so I thought, I don't have to sit in this office, I could go sit on the couch. So I disconnected and went over to the couch, and I went, oh my gosh, it's working, this is so cool. A couple days later, guess what I did? I'm back in my office, and it's not even hooked up, and it's on the wireless connection. But I'm thinking in my mind, it's hooked up, and I'm hooked up to what it's hooked up to. And I didn't get out of my chair. And I told Tina, I said, this is crazy. I'm acting as if I'm still hooked up. Did you know some of us are still acting like we're hooked up to the world, to your past? But some of us are hooked up to things, and there's been a severing. There's been a disconnection. You now are free to move about your life. And you don't have to stay hooked up to your past. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. This is what he's saying here. Peter's talking to the church. He's saying in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be ever more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For an entrance will be supplied to you. Everybody say an entrance. God's giving us an entrance into some really good things. An entrance has been supplied to us. And if you don't know the entrance, if you don't know where to go in, you can't take advantage of what's waiting on you. And so the Holy Spirit is saying, I've got an entrance waiting for you. And so he goes on in verse 12. He said, for this reason, I'll not be negligent to remind you always of these things. And don't forget, Dad, you don't have to sit at your desk. You can go down the basement. You can go out on the porch. You can sit in the garage. You can go anywhere you want and still work on your computer. And I'm thinking, really? Oh my gosh, this is really cool. And some of us have been so programmed to stay connected to our limitations. You're not launching out in the Holy Ghost. You're not moving into things of the Spirit. So today I want to share with you for a couple of minutes a message that I've just titled Refresh. And I had to ask some people, what does it mean in a computer when you hit the refresh button? And I guess it goes back to where you've been. And sometimes we need to hit the refresh button in our lives to go back to what victories God has given us. Because we've gotten connected to some things that have been holding us down and holding us back. And you know, we want to avoid, Peter says in verses 5 through 9 of that same chapter, a useless and a fruitless life. You know, we want to move into the abundance of God. And I want to share with you this morning some principles on how you and I can enjoy the abundance of God. The abundance of God. And that is through prayer and through supplication. You know, the word supplication is a unique word. It really is a plea for mercy. That's really a good definition of it. It means entreaty or an earnest prayer. And God has given us an anointing for supplication. Did you know that? Zechariah tells us so in chapter 12 and verse 10. And a lot of us have forgotten this or maybe don't even know about it. But I want to introduce you to this anointing that's on the earth right now. He said in verse 10, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. So God's got an anointing for us in the area of supplication. There is an outpouring of God's grace and supplication in verse 10. Then they will look on me who they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him, and one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn. There is a revealing of Jesus that is coming with this anointing of supplication. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. I want us to release this supplication anointing in the earth. And the reason why I led you today to the confession is because so many of us are repeating what the enemy wants us to establish. Before you go to Philippians, listen to me in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is for the edification of the hearer and multiplies grace. No word that is contrary to God's word should ever come out of our mouth. Wow. Because when we speak it, it becomes reality. When we declare it, we establish it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. You're probably already there, and I'm on my way. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Watch. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you already in Jesus' name that I'm increasing. I thank you, Lord, that I'm increasing in assets, especially in real estate. Now, how can you say that, Pastor? Come on. Because it's in the Word. Because God spoke it. And I have a covenant right to say what He says. As a matter of fact, I have a covenant obligation to say what He says. Because I've been admonished and I've been instructed by the Holy Spirit not to speak anything contrary to what He said. So when I walk around and I'm talking what God says, you may think I'm a little strange, a little weird, but you know what? I'm lining myself up with an anointing of grace and supplication. You know, when you begin to pray, the first thing you have to do is relax. You know why? Because faith always works. See, if you're coming into prayer going, boy, I hope God does something here. Ooh, I hope He does. Lord, you got to hear me. Hey, guy, come on. Are you listening? Hey, tune in. Psst, psst, hey. You know, we're trying to get God's attention. Trying to get God to answer our prayers. We're trying to be good enough. Listen, faith always works. So relax. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says we ought to come into the presence of God boldly. Boldly into that throne of grace. That we can obtain mercy and we can find grace to help in time of need. I don't have to come in with questions in my mind. I come in boldly. I'm born again. I am accepted. I'm a son of God. I've been washed by the blood. I come in with thanksgiving. I come in boldly. So relax in prayer. Faith always works. Let's say that together. Faith always works. You see, supplication is praying with the Word of God. Stop employing prayer rituals. A lot of us have them. A lot of us grew up with them. Vain repetitions, that's what the Bible calls them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Jesus identifies, He says, hey, look guys, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they're going to be heard. Why? Because of their many words. Say that, many words. We think that if we can offer God up many words. Matter of fact, some of you as children were taught to say 10 words. 10 and 5 and 3 of these, you're in there. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Therefore, don't be like them. See, here's the problem. I am now getting used to walking around my house with my computer. But even this morning, I sat down at my desk. I'm getting used to it. Some of us are still tied to vain repetition. Some of us think that if we cry out a certain way, you know, there was a time in the church when we said, well, you got to tarry, 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 you got to tarry. Your throat is hoarse. You can't even speak anymore. And they're saying, come on, cry out, cry out, cry out. God's going to hear you. Vain repetition. So he tells us, your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask him. So here's the question. Do I have to ask him? If he already knows I have need of it, do I need to say, hey, God, you know what? It'd be nice if you kind of took care of this week. Can you do that in Jesus' name? Amen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But wouldn't it be even more powerful to say, Father, I thank you in the Word of God. It says, my God shall supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I count this thing already done because I'm a man of God. Amen. It's a little bit different of an approach, because an effective prayer in the kingdom of God is not many words, but meaningful words. Prayer is not just saying something, it's saying the right thing. So Ephesians 4:29 again, don't let any unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, because anything that's contrary to God's word is vain repetition. Go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and verse 35. And Jesus helps us understand this, because he said that there is a location that I want to hear from. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 34. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Here, Jesus is teaching something about heart prayer. Heart prayer. The heart prayer, not the head prayer. The heart prayer, not the head prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 16 in the Amplified Bible talks about the powerful, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Watch this. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. In other words, that which comes from the heart, not the head. Did you know you can have a head full of scriptures and still not get answers to prayer? Because he wants it from the heart. The heart is your spirit. The heart is your spirit. You remember the story of Hannah? She spoke in her heart. Out of her heart she spoke. And when she did that, God looked at her heart. God looks at your heart. Now we've interpreted that as, you know, it doesn't really matter what you do, what you say. God looks at your heart, what your real intentions are, even if you don't do them. False. That's not the case. What we're talking about here is he looks upon the heart. In other words, the location that he's going to connect with is your spirit. So out of your spirit, we speak. Out of our spirit, we speak. Let me ask the question. What language does your spirit speak? Good question, isn't it? I asked myself that. I said, okay, I speak English, I speak very little Hungarian, and I speak even less Spanish. What language does my spirit speak? If God is locating my spirit, if God wants me to pray out of my spirit, What does my spirit say? What language does he use? So I thought, you know what? If God can't answer those questions, then I'm in trouble. So I went to John chapter 6. And Jesus said, my word is spirit and it is life. So therefore, my spirit speaks the word of God. My head speaks English. Now, the word of God can be English, but just hold on here. Understand what I'm talking about. My head can speak my whining and complaining and my grumbling and my crying. My head can talk about my circumstances. My head can talk about my failures. My head can talk about my doubt and about my fear. But my spirit can only speak one language, the word of God. So therefore, if I'm going to pray out of my spirit, I have to pray the word of God. I've got to speak the word of God. Church, you've got to start speaking the word of God. We've got to begin declaring the word of God. You say, well, it sounds so silly that I'm going to increase in assets, even real estate. God said, now you're talking my language, baby. I've located something. I'm hearing something. I'm hearing something from my church. You see, Isaiah 29 and 13, watch this. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths, honor me with their lips, but they've removed their hearts far from me. They remove their hearts far from me. Their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Their fear or reverence or respect towards me is taught by the commandments of men, not by my word. Are you following me? Don't lose me here. This is probably one of the most important truths you'll ever learn as a Christian. If you don't learn this truth and continue in it, you'll never have victory. This is a victory day. This is a victorious day. This is how we overcome. This is how we establish the kingdom on the earth. So I recognize that I can't just say it out of my head. I've got to begin to declare it out of my spirit. And my spirit doesn't speak foolishness. My spirit will not speak fear. It only knows spirit. Psalm 42 and verse 7. I like this verse because it talks about the deep calling on to deep. The deep calling on to deep. And in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the Bible says that God searches out the heart. The heart is deceitful among all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why God said, I need to give you a new heart. I need to give you a new heart. You know, it's interesting. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a new head. Although we need to renew our mind, we can't renew our mind without a new heart. The core issue of this whole walk with God is our spirit. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. It's your spirit. It's a birth in your spirit. Because God knew that when your spirit is alive and you begin fellowshipping with God in the spirit, you will rule and reign. You will have victory. That's why I think it's absolutely essential, absolutely vital that a man and a woman of God pray in the Spirit daily. Daily. So what do I need to do that for? Deep calling on to deep. Deep calling on to deep because there are deep things of God. Matter of fact, go to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 to 11. As you're turning there, listen, I understand how the Holy Spirit is able to reveal to my natural mind the deep things of God so I can operate in them. So I can submit to them. It's hard to submit to God's word when you don't believe it. Follow me. You all believe in Jesus or you wouldn't be here. You believe in the Bible, but some of you don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, you can't pray it. God's revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, what? The deep things of God. My spirit connects with the deep things of God. My spirit can search the things of God that are too deep for my mind to understand. Go to the next verse. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So I've got to come in connection with the Spirit of God. And the only way I can do that is to speak His Word. So how do I get my needs met? How do I see victory? How do I begin to see the turnaround? You know, the enemy is very subtle. He will wear you out little by little each day to get you to start relying on your mind and on your flesh and relying on your own energies and your own intuitiveness. You will find yourself a couple months from now not totally backslidden, but cooled off in God, not reading your Bible, not praying in the Holy Ghost, not speaking the Word, and you're going, how did I get here? You got there because we turned the temperature up on you 1 degree a day and you didn't even notice it was getting hotter. That's the enemy's strategy. He has time. And he'll remove you from spirit communication to God. And so I've got to get in the Word. I've got to get in the Word. I've got to get in the Word. If I don't read the Word, I don't read the Word, I don't read the Word, I don't get to know the Word, then when I'm in circumstances, I can't draw from the Word. I have to call for counseling. Now, it's nothing wrong with calling for counseling. We'll help you. But by now. The Holy Spirit can teach you. Come on now. Because when you face a situation or an event in your life, suddenly you have a supplication anointing. You know what you need to do. I know what I need to do. I need to say the Word of God. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 10, you can't even be saved unless you say it. You can't be saved unless you say it. What does this mean? The Word is near you and in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, mouth-heart connection, that Jesus was raised from the dead, you can be saved. You don't get that connection, you don't begin to speak that, you can't even be saved. So we see in Romans 10, 9 and 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Just hold that verse there. This is so strong. Young believers, get this truth. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. My spirit believes the Word of God. My spirit believes righteousness. My mouth confesses my salvation. Now, what does that mean? That means that my spirit understands my covenant. I walk in covenant with God. I am a son of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My spirit clings to that truth. My spirit believes in righteousness. But my mouth has to say what my spirit believes in order for me to experience rescue, healing, wholeness, wealth. That's what salvation means. So my mouth establishes what my spirit believes. Your mouth got you saved. Well, my mouth's got me in a lot of trouble. I don't know about that, but has anybody's mouth ever got you in trouble? But your mouth saved your soul. So why do we stop talking after you get saved? The very thing that got you out of darkness will keep you in the light. So we really got to check ourselves. We've got to check ourselves. What are we declaring? What are we saying? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. I really like this. This is going to wind your clock. I think you're going to like this. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it's in power in your hand to do so. Do not hold good from those whom it is due. Let me ask this question. Whom is good due? To whom is good due? The righteous. Good is due the righteous. So if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I have good due. So if bad tries to sneak up on me, I have authority to confront it because I am due good. Well, the Lord works in mysterious ways, my brother. Sometimes God just puts evil on you to teach you. How many have ever heard that? Sometimes God will make you sick so you can witness in the hospital. Sometimes God will kill your child just so you'll come to know the Lord. God works in mysterious ways. Now, I'm just trying to point something out this morning. Don't be seduced by vain repetition. Don't be seduced by fear and doubt prayers. And stop being seduced by religious thinking that inaccurately represents a living God. If you logically would approach this subject just for 60 seconds. The Bible says that every gift that God gives is perfect and good. So now how would God put evil on you? Evil is not good. It is bad. So God doesn't put evil on us. Say, well, why does it come? Because there's a real devil. There's a real enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. But you got to put on the full armor of God. What does that mean? There's a battle to be fought. We have become so passive. We don't realize we've got to be dressed for battle. We think everything's going to be just fine. Que sera, sera. Whatever happens, happens. Must be God's will for our life. It's not God's will. It's not God's plan. I'll tell you what God's will is. It's between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22, whatever. That's God's will. Therefore, listen to this. To those that walk uprightly, good is due. My covenant doesn't permit me. Now listen, some of you aren't going to like this. To lack any good thing. Well, how come I'm lacking it? That's a good question. How come you are? Have you been working it? Working what? Your salvation. How do you do that? How did you get saved? You believed in your heart and you did what? Confess with your mouth. Have you been doing that? Well, I don't know. Not really. So you want me to pray for you? You want Minister Claire to counsel you through? And there's nothing wrong with counseling. And there's nothing wrong with prayer from the preacher. But by now, we ought to be able to take the bull by the horns and say, uh-oh, not on my watch. You've got to be kidding me. The Watch. By covenant, my life is not permitted to lack any good thing. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Watch this. Matthew 6, 24. By my covenant, my life is not permitted to lack any good thing. Watch. No one can serve how many masters? For either he'll do what? Hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and do what? Despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you can only serve one. Look at somebody and say, you can only serve one God. Tell them again, say, you can't serve money if you're going to serve God. Now why am I asking you to say that? Because no man can serve two masters. If you have yielded yourself to serve a living God, how many have said in this room, I am going to serve the living God? Let me see your hand. Okay, that's almost everybody. Then watch this. You're not permitted to serve lack, want, hunger, nakedness, shortage, fear. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're not permitted. You can't serve two masters. Now what does James say about a guy that does? And what happens to him? He doesn't get a thing. Keeps going around and around and around and around, just like one of them little mice and one of them little exercise wheels. Think he's going somewhere and he's not going anywhere, and we're not going anywhere, and we're going to church and we're praying, and we go back home, and we sing, and we have chicken dinners, and we do all the things that we do in church, and we're not getting any, but we're not moving forward, we're not getting any victories, we're just having church, and we're just backsliding, and then we're kind of falling, and then we come back, and we're not going anywhere. Why? Because we are serving two masters. Lord, I pray revelation come to us today. I pray every one of us will say, what was I thinking? What was I doing? I'm serving lack. I'm agreeing with lack. So, I have to make a choice today. If that's the case, then there are some restrictions in my life. Let me give you one. Would you like to see one of the restrictions in my life? Psalm 37, verse 5. Here's one of the restrictions in my life. It basically says this. I've been young, and I'm now getting old. But I've never seen the righteous or, say it with me, his what? Begging what? How many believe that's a true scripture? Okay, therefore, begging is not scriptural. Oh God, please, please, God. Oh, please, 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 Jesus, please, please, please. Not scriptural. Because begging and righteousness doesn't go together. I don't have to beg for anything. I just establish it out of my spirit through the vehicle of my mouth. You know, I'm learning something that you and I have choices every day. You have a choice to be happy, and you have a choice to be sad. Some of you are sad today. We say, yeah, my puppy ran away. That's why I'm sad. Okay, you can be sad now for today because your puppy ran away. But some of us are depressed because you've chosen depression because it's comfortable. It's a safe place. It's what you're used to. Because depression is where you know how to live and how to operate. You don't even know how to be happy. If you were to be joyful and happy, you'd be like, Like me with my computer. Oh my gosh, look, I'm on the couch. Whoa, this is cool. Oh my gosh. I called Troy. Hey, Troy, I'm on my couch with my computer. He goes, yeah, okay, Dad, yeah. If we are living in the blues, it is because we've chosen to accept the thoughts that created the blues. If I choose to be happy, in spite of the evidence to be sad, I've got to take the evidence, lasso it. Take it captive. Cast it down. And then I take every thought captive to the obedience of the anointed one. And I go, whoo, I'm happy. Why are you happy, man? Your car's breaking down. Your puppy ran away. So, well, I ain't worried about that car. That ain't nothing. You know, my Jesus is bigger than that broken down car. You know, some of you are still depressed because McCain Palin didn't win the presidency. Some of you are still like. I'm serious. Some of you are like really upset. You know what I heard yesterday? It was the craziest thing. I got to hurry. There was a church in Cleveland that was praying and fasting for 10 days. McCain Palin would win the election. They had 24 hours a day prayer. 10 days praying and fasting. Guess what? There was another church on the other side of town. It's a true story. It's a true story. Praying and fasting for 7 days that Obama, Biden would win the presidency. And I saw God in the spirit going, oh, I'm so confused. Which prayer do I answer? The one that can say the most hail somebody's. Listen, if Jesus isn't bigger than your elephant, then you're serving two masters. If Jesus isn't bigger than your donkey, then you're serving two masters. If Jesus isn't bigger than the fact that your puppy ran away, you're serving two masters. If Jesus isn't bigger than the fact that you don't have enough money in your back pocket and now you're sad, then your money is bigger than your Jesus. I said, God, this is not easy. This is hard to hear. See, I'm just telling you what he told me this week. Not for you. I'm just letting you in on our conversation. This was all about me. I said, God, you know what? I've got a feeling you're setting us up for victory. I got a feeling you're setting us up for something big. Lord, I got a feeling that everything's under control. God, you are in control. Pelosi may think she's the queen mother, but you know what? God is in control. Get into your thinking. Same day mentality. Say that with me. Same day. Now, what does that mean? Psalm 103, 1 through 3 says, he took your diseases and he took your pains on the same day he took your sins. Same day. If you can believe God for your soul to go to heaven, I mean, come on, think about it. That takes a lot of faith, baby. You're going to die and you're going to leave this earth and you're going to go to glory. How many believe that? Let me see your hand. Look at all of you. That takes a lot of faith. But how many believe that God will meet all your needs. How many believe that, Lord, you're my healer and nothing is impossible? How many believe that? See, that's the same day stuff. Same day stuff. Come on, shout it with me. Same day stuff. Say it again. Same day stuff. But I'm the Lord that healeth thee. It's already settled. He took your infirmities. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord and I change not. Who will you be with him today? You know, that's what God has to figure out. Okay, which Louis is going to show up today? Is it going to be the faith Louis? Or is it going to be the doubt Louis? Or is it going to be the Louis? Which Louis is it going to be? And God's going, oh, I wish he'd just be a little more like me, never changing. Be the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Pastor, it's so hard. I know it's hard. But you can't serve two masters. You've got to be determined to say, I am not going to serve that thing. I am not going to make it bigger than my Jesus. I refuse. I refuse. I've got so much to be happy about. I'm going to heaven. My kids are going to heaven. My husband's going to heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Boy, you know, that's a miracle. This is an outpouring. This is an anointing on the last days. If you were to run the references, you would see it's in conjunction with Joel chapter 2, verse 28. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. That's what he said. He said, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. This is the prophecy that was fulfilled in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when Peter said, this is that. This supplication and grace is part of that anointing. It's for you and me. It's for us to declare on the earth today, the only hope this region has is for you and I to begin to establish God's will in this county. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that God will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know that with all my heart. And I'm not looking at figures. I'm not looking at budgets. I'm not looking at, you know, staffing. I know that God has another plan. God has a great plan. And nothing's going to deter us from fulfilling that plan. Amen? So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do something today. We've got to raise $53,000. You say, well, that's easy. 53 people give 1,000. Got it. Go ahead. You say, why? Well, we've got 4 heating units that are not functional. And if we don't get them fixed, next week you will notice the difference. Our parking lot was crumbling. We fixed it already. Matter of fact, we're fixing the heating units now. But we got 30 days to pay it. And I need your help. I need every family to do something. Now, you know, it's interesting. I belong to an association. I live in a retirement community. In this retirement community, I pay association fees. And they plow plow my driveway and they cut the grass. And it's really cool. But you know what they did last week? They sent me a bill for $90. So what's this $90? I already paid my tithe. I mean, my association fee. Man, he's pretty slick. You know what it was for? Last year, the snow plowing went over the budget. So they had to make up $18,000. So they just divided it up among every household and said, you are bound by the bylaws as a member and an owner of this association to pay when we need it. All right. And I thought, Lord, can we do that at church? Bound by the bylaws. that whenever we have a need, I just bill you. Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? But see, I have part ownership in that association. I have part ownership in that development. I have a pool. I have a clubhouse. I have a trail to run on. I have amenities. So do you at this church. The point will be now as whether or not you are an owner. If you're an owner, you'll write the check. If you're not an owner, then you won't write the check. But would you help us? Ushers, would you come right now? I'm not going to tell you what to give, but $53,000 is a lot. So ushers are going to help us. We're going to receive that this morning. And we're going to believe God to pay for it in this meeting. Pay for it. Somebody might even give $10,000. If you do, I'm going to shake your hand. I'm going to bless you. Amen. Let's thank God this morning. Father, bless this offering that the kingdom of God might go forth in power and in splendor in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and receive that. Come on out and sing that song again. Minister Troy is going to close the service for us. And I'm going to run and jump in a car and drive 52 miles east and meet with the other part of the family. And it's a great, great opportunity to do that every Sunday for me. By the way, tonight, 7 o'clock, we're going to have a supernatural healing service in Beechwood. So you're welcome to come, everyone. Be a part of it at 7 o'clock tonight. But God bless you, and I'll see you later. Troy, would you close the service and ask anybody if they need Jesus? See you guys.
Hello. Believe that this morning, church. Amen. After you've already given, why don't you stand to your feet? I want to give you an opportunity to actually move in your faith now. If you need prayer today, we want to pray for you. Altar ministers, if you'll come forward right now. Isn't it interesting? The same faith we use to be saved is the same faith that we can use right now to be healed, to be set free, to be delivered. If you walk through the doors, you say, I'm saved. Well, I battle with things. There are things that I've struggled with. Perhaps you have a loved one who's sick this morning. He's in a hospital. Perhaps your children are wayward and not serving Christ. The same faith that sends you to heaven is the same faith that will heal the sick. It's the same faith that will raise the dead. It's the same faith that will cause your children to return back to the loving arms of Christ this morning. It's the same faith that will heal your marriage this morning. It's the same faith that can heal this city. It's the same faith that can turn the economy around. It's the same faith. Together this morning, church, let's confess the word. Shall we do that together? Now, when we open up and when we close in prayer, let's open our mouth. Come on, you are a prince in this kingdom. You are co-heir with Christ. It belongs to you. And what you say, you establish rule in the world. The earth has to respond to what comes out of your mouth this morning. So as we close today, open your mouth, church. Open your mouth and let this earth receive the revealing of the glory of God that's inside of you today. Let us pray. Father, thank you that those that are sick are healed right now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. Open your mouth. Church, open your mouth and begin to confess what you believe in your heart that you know is true. We thank you, Lord, that marriages are put together and made whole now, God. We thank you, Lord, that those those who are brokenhearted are restored. We thank you, Lord, this morning that you are a way maker, God, that you supply every need that's present in this house right now. We thank you, Lord, that cancer must bow its knee at the name of Christ. This morning we believe that you are the healer, that there's nothing impossible for you today. We believe today, God, that you can take alcoholism from somebody right now in this building, right here in this great assembly. You can deliver those who are bound by alcoholism. You can deliver those who are addicted to drugs this morning. You can deliver, God, a religious mindset this morning. You can set them free and deliver them in this house this morning, God. There is nothing impossible for you. Come on, take a few moments right now. Just take a few moments. Take a few moments.
Nothing is impossible.
Begin to declare. Come on, sing, church. There's nothing impossible for him.
Hold my world in your hands.